Welcome to Special Sauce, Sirius's podcast about food and life. Every week on Special Sauce, we talk to some of the leading lights of American culture, food folks and non-food folks alike.
First lesson that I've learned that I think is maybe most helpful for people is you eat what you see. How you set your home up can have a transformational impact on what you actually consume. So you basically, the things that you're trying to eat more of, you should put out in plain sight, and the things you're trying to eat less of, you should like put it on the top shelf or in the back of the freezer or in the bottom of the drawer, because you see the bag of cookies on the counter and then you say to yourself, oh, I like a cookie.
We are back with cookbook author and food policy activist Sam Kass. He came to the Obama White House when he became the executive director of the Let's Move campaign initiated by Michelle Obama. You left the White House before they left the White House, and why?
So I was there for 6 years. The main reason was that I was getting married.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
And you have a little girl?
A little boy.
A little boy.
A little boy named Cy.
Who Double just, congratulations.
Thank you. He just turned one.
And your wife is Alex Wagner. Yeah, who's terrific on MSNBC.
No, she used to be. Now she's
doing a Heilman show,
she's
right?
She's doing the circus, yeah. She writes for The Atlantic. Uh-huh. She's on CBS, and she's a co-host of the circus.
Yeah.
She also just had a great book out called Future Face, which
great.
Everybody should buy.
All right.
Brilliant. So basically... You know, we had been long distance. Our whole, she was in New York and I was in D.C. So, you know, and honestly, between my parents and President and First Lady, who, especially the President and First Lady, who had strongly encouraged me to sort of grow up, get my shit together, settle down, get married, have family, stop messing around. It was sort of like, all right, well, I did what you told me to do, but I can't be married and
right.
Long distance dating, engagement and marriage.
Come right.
On. You know, you taught me better than that. So I ended up having to leave a little early, but...
And did you know what you were going to do when you left?
Nope. No idea.
So you moved to New York.
Moved to New York.
And then what happened?
That was a pretty intense time. Moved to New York, left the White House, left the family that I've been working for 8 years, moved in with my... fiance, soon to be, very soon to be. Well, basically, no, my wife. That all
right.
Kind of happened at the same time. I had to figure out a new career. Moved to New York. That was a lot of change.
You needed a job, dude.
Yeah, I did. Big time.
So what'd you get?
Well, I got a book contract, which...
Yeah, we're going to talk about this. This is a very cool book because it wasn't what I thought. You know why?
Tell me.
Because you weren't lecturing me with your forefinger in my chest. I hate that.
Me too.
And
I hate
you talk
that.
About incremental changes and people can still enjoy French fries. And, you know, it's like you have a very sensible, and maybe that was a result of your time in Washington.
It was, absolutely. Part of what I sort of witnessed in Washington, and this is indicative of kind of a broader problem, particularly on the progressive side, is, you know, we state these ideals about how we're supposed to be living, especially when it comes to food, and there's this, like, right way to eat and a wrong way to eat. And a lot of the strongest voices in food sort of paint these utopic visions, and they just don't match the reality of anybody's life. And so what ends up happening is people try to do that, fail, and then get super demoralized and kind of give up.
Right. I remember Alice Waters once complained that a place I told her to get tacos at didn't serve organic tortillas.
Yeah, perfect.
And I was like, Alice, it's of the community, you know? And it's like if they spent the money to make organic tortillas, they would quickly go out of business.
Right. Yeah. And I love Alice Waters to death.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like
Me
my
too.
Fairy godmother. But, you know, it's just we don't live in the reality that most people in this country are living in. And by the way, most of those people, Alice may be the exception, they don't live by those utopic visions themselves. And it pisses me off, to be quite honest with you, that we make people feel a certain way about how they're, you know, that they're wrong when it comes to how they're eating. And so, this book is really an attempt to celebrate progress over the ideals.
Yeah.
And and also to give people strategies about how to actually do it. Because we spend so much of our time talking about what you should or shouldn't do, but no time talking about how to actually get it done.
Yeah, I thought that was really smart. You know, the book, first of all, we should say is called Eat a Little Better, Great Flavor, Good Health, Better World, which sounds less interesting than it really is, you know?
It's then like, maybe we should redo the title.
You do need to redo the title, but it's okay. The book is awesome. And that was one of the great things about it is that the things seem really doable. The things that you recommend doing to change your eating habits.
Yep.
And they don't require you to become an ascetic.
That's right. Yeah, it's important. It's got to fit. If you really want to make progress and you want to make, if we want to change the food system, you have to change most people. Like, we're too satisfied in the food world with, like, doing it really great for a really small number of people. Like, scale matters. And that's one of the things the White House showed me is that the world functions on a huge scale, way bigger than we can comprehend and way bigger than most people even have any sense of. And if you want to have an impact, you got to deal with like millions of people and huge millions of acres and, you know, huge supply chains. And that means you're going to have to make some compromises. It means you're going to have to make compromises on what you're asking of people. But if you can get a lot of people to eat just one or two more servings of vegetables a week, that's a big impact.
Especially, and you know, there are all kinds of socioeconomic and cultural barriers to that. You know, what people always talk about, they don't really understand. They always talk about, oh, there should be more farmers markets and there should be a farmers market in every neighborhood. Well, the bottom line is, yes, there should be. But the problem is, in most disadvantaged neighborhoods, there's no place to get fresh produce.
Let's
start there.
Yeah, let's just start with a carrot. I don't care how it's grown.
Right.
We just need somebody to have a fresh carrot that isn't like, you know, fuzzy. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I agree. I think the... If you'd say one of the big lessons from the White House, and there were infinite lessons, but one is just to, you have to, if we want to be effective, we have to start with reality and then work towards our ideals, as opposed to starting with our ideals and then being really upset with how the world is and sort of stomping our feet.
Because you'll always be disappointed.
Yeah, well, it's also just not an effective way to look at how you make change. Like, if you want to be effective, you have to grapple with reality and you have to say, okay, I'm actually here. I know where I want to go, but I can't just leap there. I have to, you know, there's no way to get there without taking steps in that direction.
Yeah.
That's when you're actually in charge of figuring that out, that's what you're forced to do. And so while some people might find that frustrating, it's your only option. So this idea of like, we need a food revolution. And when I hear people talking like that, it's like, they just don't know what the hell they're talking about. Like, there's trillions of dollars of invested infrastructure. There's, you know, farmers who are farming a certain sort of way that have huge investments in that system. Like, they can't just like they're not just going to get rid of it.
Right.
It's not just going to disappear because you have come to the conclusion that you don't think it's this or that. Now, I have a pretty similar sort of general critique of the problems, but this isn't just going to like go away. If you just got rid of big ag, everybody would die. Like right now, it's producing a huge percentage of our calories. So you have to figure out, okay, over time, how do you change the culture? How do you make investments in new kinds of infrastructure, new kinds of innovations that can overall lead to a transformation over time of the system that's feeding us? But it's it literally doesn't make any sense to say it can just happen.
Sure. So what are three concrete things that you hope people come away with from the book?
Well, I think the first lesson that I've learned that I think is maybe most helpful for people is you eat what you see, and how you set your home up can have a transformational impact on what you actually consume. So you basically, the things that you're trying to eat more of, you should put out in plain sight, and the things you're trying to eat less of, you should like put it on the top shelf or in the back of the freezer or in the bottom of the drawer, because a lot of times what happens is you're walking into the kitchen, you see the bag of cookies on the counter, and then you say to yourself, oh, I'd like a cookie. But you didn't actually want that cookie. You just saw that cookie.
Right.
And then you, when your eyes saw it, it triggered a thought in your head that said, I want. But it hadn't. You didn't walk in there
right.
wanting the cookie.
Yeah, you talk about even in the White House or even in the Obama's house in the South Side of Chicago of where you put the cookies and where you put the fruit and where yep. you put the nuts.
It has a huge impact. So you put the fruit bowl of fruit on the counter. The kids are going to walk through, for example, and eat whatever's there. So they could have grabbed a handful of chips. But if there's a bowl of grapes, they're going to take the grapes. And so setting up your environment for success so you're, once you're in there, you're not like stressing or grappling about it. Because like we also like err on the side of being too obsessed with food. Like being healthy with food is just enjoying it, being relaxed, not worrying about it too
right.
much. So the way you do this, you have to set up your world so that you're not trying to like willpower your way every day in your own kitchen because
right.
you're at war with yourself.
Sure.
So the fight should be at the grocery store where you're being conscious about the choices you're making. So when you get home, you can just relax and eat whatever you got.
It
doesn't mean you don't have the cookies. They're just on the top shelf. So you only have them
right.
when you really want them.
All right. So that's one.
That's one. I would try to eat red meat once a week. If everybody did that, we'd be in a much better place. I love steak. I'm not going to give it up, but I'm definitely eating less of it.
All right.
And that's true for health, but even more so for climate change
sure.
sustainability.
All right. And the third?
The third is probably try to cook one more time a week. And if everybody did that, we'd be well on our way to a much healthier, more sustainable place.
Got it.
When we cook, everything sort of gets better.
So now that the book's done and you're promoting the book, what are you doing now?
Lots of other stuff. Main thing I'm doing, I'm a partner in a fund called Acre. Which is investing in the future of food and technologies that we think are going to transform how we eat from human health and environmental health vantage point, so a mission-driven fund. And, I think there's a whole wave of young entrepreneurs and new technologies that are coming
sure.
to the food system that I think will have a transformational impact on how we eat.
Yeah. So cool. Now it's time for the special sauce, all you can answer buffet. And I know you don't have much time, but we're going to run through these.
Okay.
So who's at your last supper? No family allowed. And I'm going to say in your case, the Obamas are not allowed.
My last supper?
Yeah. So like if you're like on your way to heaven,
shit,
like who
man.
Would you love? It could be living or dead. It could be musicians, artists, authors, philosophers,
damn, man.
Painters. Just give me three names.
Da Vinci.
Okay.
Lincoln.
All right.
Who's the last one? I feel like it needs to be
a woman. It has
woman.
To be a woman.
It has to be a woman. Yeah, I agree.
You would be in serious trouble both at home and with the Obamas.
I actually may need to redo. I mean, you're the only woman. I'm going to think about this. I take this question too seriously. It says
all right.
So
well,
much
we can
about
come back
you.
To it.
All right. I'm going to come back
all right.
Come back
what
to
are you
it.
Eating?
What am I eating?
Uh-huh.
You can't ask a chef that question.
I'm sorry, I do it all the time, and
well,
people
fuck,
come
who
up
answers
with answers.
That?
They do.
It's a
they
terrible
come up with
thing
cool
to do.
Answers.
That's basically a different way of saying what's your favorite food. And it's bullshit.
I know. I would never do that because people ask me that all the time.
It's the worst question.
The worst question. Could be three or four things. It doesn't have to be one thing.
I think I would. I'm an Asian food obsessive.
Okay.
So I would have to have. Like sushi, I would have to have some Chinese food of some kind. But this doesn't constitute a meal. The problem with this question is that I wouldn't want to eat all those things at one time.
Right.
Do I have a day of eating? Is the last supper
so
like a day long?
Yeah, it can be day long.
Okay, spread out over...
Yeah, for
okay.
sure.
So I basically have to take a trip to Japan, China, Korea, and Vietnam with
okay.
a little Thai.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
But then I'd have to have some kind of perfect pasta... And a taco.
A taco. I like that. What's in the taco?
Probably tongue.
Tongue. Linga.
Linga.
All right. And so what do you...
God, I hate that question.
So what do you cook when there's nothing in the house to eat?
Like what I'm going to do when I
yeah.
race home right now?
Yeah, right when you race home right
I'm
now.
I'm going to cook.
Because they said you're going to a dinner, but I know you're going home to cook for your family.
I'm going home to put my son to sleep. That's
yeah.
why I got to go.
I know.
And then I'm
going to
cook my wife. I will do pasta with chilies, garlic, and Parmesan cheese.
Got it.
The best.
The best.
I love
and
it.
And you always have those things on hand,
always
right?
Always have that.
You always have a hunk of Parmesan,
yeah.
you always have garlic, and you always have some kind of chilies
yeah.
or even chili flakes,
yeah, chili
right?
flakes. I use chili
yeah.
flakes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Sam Cast Day. It's been declared Sam Cast Day all over the world. What happens?
Oh, my God, dude. Are you kidding me with these questions?
I ask good questions. I don't ask you the normal questions that everybody else asks.
Well, how the fuck am I supposed to answer that? What do you mean, what happens?
Like, what happens? Are people, they could be eating a family meal.
There's like peace on earth and
harmony. They could be listening to music. Men. Yeah, it could be anything.
Yeah, they're listening to a ton of music.
All right, so what are they listening to?
God, I don't know. They're listening to their favorite song. I'm not going to tell them what to listen to. What kind of tyrant would do that? I wouldn't tell them what to eat either. Although I would suggest they eat a big bowl of ramen.
All right. And what would you be listening to?
Oh man. Probably a bunch of old school hip hop is my guess. Very cliché.
Specific.
But some soul, like Eric B. and Rakim or Common from, but back in the day, old school Common, The Roots, De La Soul. But also a bunch of, soul music is probably what I would put
All right,
in.
So they'd be listening to music.
Yeah.
And they'd probably be eating together.
They'd be eating a lot of food together. They'd cook together.
Right.
They'd cook together, and they'd eat a lot of food together. Probably go to a baseball game.
Yeah. Of course they'd go to a baseball game.
Yeah, they'd have to go to a baseball game. But really what they would probably do, if it was really up to me, is they'd all take a trip. That's what they would do. Everybody would go to a different country if it was my day. Everybody would get a first-class plane ticket to go.
I love this.
To go somewhere else.
And just experience it.
Wherever they wanted to go. That's actually what would happen on my day. They could eat whatever they wanted, wherever they were. They could listen to whatever music they were, where they were. But I think, travel, I've been to, over 60 countries or something. I don't know. I've counted a long time, but I think it's just so important, and so few people have the privilege of doing it, but everybody benefits from the perspective they gain when they go see mostly how similar everybody is, but also gets to experience the differences. And so, if there was a Samcast day, everybody would get to go somewhere.
All right, so now I'm going to try to prevent you from your wife and Michelle Obama getting mad at you. I'm back to two women that are at the table.
Jane Addams.
Jane Addams. Let's talk about Jane Addams for a second.
Jane Addams is like one of the,
I'm really an ignorant person.
As a great progressive, I'm amazed. So this is the thing about Jane Addams. Like, she, helped start the FDA and USDA.
Got it.
The Upton Sinclair with the jungle at the Whole House. She had the Whole House, like this whole community of immigrants who came to Chicago and worked on labor. Like, a lot of the labor laws that shaped, America.
And my father was a commie and a labor organizer, and I never heard Jane Addams' name.
Wow, man. Jane Addams is, this is exactly why I would like to meet with her, because if you should read a biography on her, just even like Wikipedia her. She was a force in so many of, the movements that came to give basic rights to workers or...
Really?
Yeah, federal government. She was brought into forming a bunch
That's
of
so
different
great.
Agencies in the federal government to have basic oversight for our food, things like that. She was just a force.
That's awesome. All right, so Jane Addams, one more.
Oh, Eleanor Roosevelt. I would want to have dinner with Eleanor Roosevelt because having been in the White House and knowing how hard it is to be First Lady and to be a powerful First Lady, which Michelle absolutely was, but in a modern way. Knowing what she did was really impressive.
Yeah.
Especially at that time, the pressure and pushback that she, got is something that, I was close enough to get a sense of what it must felt like, but she was really a remarkable woman. So
I'd
love to.
That's a cool table.
Yeah, a pretty good table.
It's an awesome foretop. Well, it's five with
we
you.
We should do it.
So last question. Do you have guilty pleasures?
Yeah, of course.
Like, give me a couple. I'm a Mounds freak.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not
really?
My thing.
All right.
I have two basic ones.
Okay.
I do love pies, so let's put that off to the side. That's not a guilty pleasure. It's fruit. It's like healthy.
I know.
It's basically
but it's
healthy for you.
But it's awesome.
It's so good, man.
I'm going to let you have that.
Yeah, that's off to the side. That doesn't count. My two pleasures are buffalo wings. I just love a buffalo wing. I don't eat them that often, but man, when I do.
And do they have to be traditional blue cheese?
Traditional, absolutely. Only blue
Frank's
cheese. Anybody
hot
puts,
sauce?
Of course. Anybody puts ranch on their wings.
Should be excommunicated.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely thrown in jail.
Okay.
So yeah, so buffalo wings for sure. And I think ice cream might be the greatest invention of humankind. Seriously, I'll go toe-to-toe with anybody on their, like, internet, phone, car, wheel, energy. Ice cream, man. Ice cream, what is better?
Nothing's better. And within the ice cream universe, is, like, frozen custard, like, at the top of your food chain?
It's really up there, yeah.
Like, real frozen custard made with a little bit of egg yolk?
Yeah, real frozen custard can... The question is, does a real frozen custard beat the perfect gelato?
Right. No, I agree. You and I could have a good time eating in spite of the fact that I didn't know who Jane Addams was.
Yes. I'll forgive you.
All right.
I think that'd be one of that's my other one that I partake in more than I should.
Got it. Well, thank you so much, Sam Cass, for sharing your special sauce with us.
Such a pleasure.
This was awesome. And everyone should go out and get Sam's book, Eat a Little Better, Great Flavor, Good Health, Better World.
Yes.
Go out and get his wife's book, which is called...
Future Face.
And then you'll be contributing just a little to the Sam Cass household.
Which would be greatly appreciated because New York City is effing expensive.
Cool, man. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next time, Serious Eaters.